Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. What's up, wrestling fans, and welcome back to Below Zero Radio. I am your host, Showtime Rocky Allen, and joining me, as always, my wonderful co-host, Below Zero Wrestling Commissioner Nick Stokey. Nick, how are you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Oh, just fantastic. We can dive straight into the news because we have a jam-packed WrestleMania preview lined up for all of our fans and in-studio guest. Jake Taylor here. So we got to get to everything. Not a whole lot of news between when we talked last after the Bismarck show and before WrestleMania here. This is kind of a bonus pod because we're not really going to get into Glendive. We've talked about the Glendive show, talked about JTG showing up, very exciting stuff. We've also talked about Chris Adonis, Chris Masters showing up. Again, very cool. Brought to you by our friends at Flashback Gaming. But we do have an announcement or one more talent announcement in Johnny, whoever you want him to be, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Morrison. I think he's going to wrestle as Johnny Flashback for our friends yes. at Flashback Gaming. But you know who we're talking about, folks. Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, whomever. If you're a big Lucha Underground guy like I was in my heart, he's Johnny Mundo. But he will be there. And do we know who he's wrestling?
Not 100% yet.
Okay. All right.
Let's say the next time we talk, we'll know for sure.
Okay.
And we'll let everyone know. Maybe we'll even break that news on the next episode. But let's just say it's going to be a good one if everything pans out.
Okay. As we mentioned, show in Glendive, Montana. Sponsors have really sold out all the VIP stuff. They've sold out the front row, but the general admission stuff is still going strong, and that should be a fun show in a new state. For Below Zero Wrestling, as we kind of continue to expand the brand, expand the territory, fun stuff, and should be an awesome show. And that, you mentioned, is in early May.
May 6th. Really, really excited for that. I'm actually going down this weekend to do some more promoting and scouting the area and everything like that. So we're really excited for Glendive.
All right. As I mentioned, right here in the Below Zero studio, Mr. Jake Taylor. Jake, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thanks for asking. How are you, sir?
We're very excited. You are the second live guest, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Mr. Sylvester J. Fox graced these hallowed halls. Oh. But everybody else has been via phone, so a little bit more conversational. We appreciate you, obviously, taking the time to stop by. Let's go on the Wayback Machine. Where are you from, and were you an athlete growing up? Did you play any high school sports? Were you involved in, you know, as many people would probably guess now, at some point there had to be a foray into martial arts. What was kind of your childhood story, your athletic background?
Sure, childhood story, athletic background. Kind of lived all over North Dakota.
Okay.
So main athletic background as far as high school, or at least pre-high school as well, too, leading to that, was football. Football was like one of my main passions. I'd really focus on that. In fact, when I went to university, I had to, I almost was a part of the football team, but then I had to choose between either pursuing athletics and football or theater. And they just wouldn't let me do both for whatever reason. So I tried to actually pursue the theater route for quite a while there.
All right. Yeah. Did you grow up a wrestling fan?
Did I grow up a wrestling fan? It's interesting. I have some memories, honestly, from when I was younger. I remember the Lex Express. I remember,
I'm sorry.
I know, right? I didn't know any better at the time. I was sure. Super young. Right. And also I had a friend, David, who was super into Hulk Hogan and everything that he was a part of on the movie scene, in fact. So I remember seeing a when I was very, very young, No Holds Barred. I also saw, and then I sort of got on the train a little bit too with all of Mr. Hogan's fun, wacky acting with Mr. Nanny. And
what a classic!
I know, yeah, so absolutely. Good. Pinkies up, yeah. And Suburban Commando. I remember loving that movie, and you know, because it had Christopher Lloyd in it as well too, and the more recently. Brought to our attention of Mark Calloway before he fell into his current position and tenure inside of the WWF, WWE. But even at the time, I remember this is one of my favorite lines from that movie is when Hulk Hogan, Suburban Commando, Ramsey is fighting these two bigger like brutes, and they're in, I think it's in a elevator scene or something like that. But after it crashes and they stand up, and then you hear this mean man who's goes by Mark Calloway at the time. He just in this really childlike voice, "You're a dead man, Ramsey." And I was like, oh, I just laughed and laughed. Sure. That was like one of my favorite memories as well, too. If you've never seen the movie, go back and check it out. Suburban Commando, so good. Yeah, Shelley Duvall's in that one, too. I just totally remember that. Anyway, so my background, a lot of it, too, actually does come from the Hollywood entertainment side of it as well.
So when you got kind of more into like the business,
yeah,
who were your guys when you started to have more of an appreciation for the actual product? What was that Attitude Era? Was it Ruthless Aggression Era? When did you kind of, I guess, if you weren't a major fan as a kid,
right,
when did you kind of lock in? And then once you did lock in, like, who were your guys?
Right. Okay. So very good question. Awesome question. Answer is that like my approach towards the wrestling business or the sports industry business in general has always been one of I'm more of a historian. I love the history when it comes to professional wrestling. So I completely was not on the map when it came to wrestling pretty much my entire younger life. Like, I really, I don't want to say fell into it because that's a bit disingenuous. I had friends who were wrestling fans, and I was sort of a fan adjacent. I never really watched, like, the first, like, full-through WrestleMania that I ever watched was shortly after The Rock started coming back. After he had a big push inside of Hollywood, and then they put, and then it was led up to the John Cena once in a lifetime, and then sure. Twice in a lifetime.
Twice in a lifetime.
Right.
Right.
So really leading up to that was, I remember sitting on my friend Jared's couch, and we were watching, I forget if it was SmackDown or something, it was the lead up to it.
Sure.
And I remember even watching, and it was one of those moments too. Again, I'm a big Dwayne Johnson fan for his entrepreneurship as well as, like, I enjoy his movies. You know, sometimes they're silly, sometimes they're kooky, sometimes it's just explosions, but it's still enjoyable. I enjoy them. I remember watching, and it was one of those moments too where I was watching people wrestle, and I was thinking to myself, I could do that. It was really a moment like that. Sure. And then later on in that particular show too, so we can actually whittle it down to when it was like sort of the moment or what day. I can't remember it offhand, but we can go back and look. But when I was watching the screen, and it's one of those things where there was a pause, and I just said, Rock. And then all of a sudden, electricity hit the Titantron and just went off. And then I got chills, and I was like, ooh, that's good. And part of me was like, how did I call that? How did I know that? I mean, you could tell there was like a tension building up, like somebody was going to come out, but who was it going to be? But I just remember really falling in love with that feeling of anticipating someone that you're looking forward to seeing, and then they come out. And then as an athlete as well, too, looking at it and being like, can I do that? And then when watching it, it's like, yeah, I can do that. I believe I can do that. And then it was just like, I have to find a way to make this happen. And then it was finding a trainer and then actually getting into the business and finding a way to do it. So I approached it from really an athlete's perspective, not a I guess, what you consider a fan's perspective of, oh, this has sure. always been my dream, yeah. that type of thing. And that's a lot of people's journeys, and that's totally fine. It just was never mine.
Fair. So I think, you know, we all like to believe we're our own characters, and there's a level of originality to Showtime Rocky Allen and to Jake Taylor and
sure, sure.
whomever, but at the same time, like, we all pull from somebody. So who would be, whether it's moveset, mannerisms on the mic, just in general, like, who are your kind of influences? Who do you, like, oh, I'm going to take a little bit from this, or, man, I really like this kick, or I really like this high knee, or, you know, who have you kind of pulled from?
Absolutely. And it's funny, too, because I think a lot of people, especially with my martial arts background or my flexibility or my high kicks or things like that, a lot of people would, like go, oh, Rob Van Dam. It's like, I mean, and I like Rob, but that's not, again, he's not the guy that I would, like, look towards or, like, somebody that I look up to as far as, like, a wrestler. I really enjoy in-ring workers. So a couple of people that I would gravitate towards as far as their in-ring work and even just the way that they presented themselves were a lot of the smaller grapplers. So it would be, like, Eddie Guerrero or it'd be, like, Chris Benoit. Obviously, you know, there's a fandom for the electricity that you get from a Hulk Hogan or from Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I always connected more with those in-ring workers that were, like, legitimate, like, badasses.
Sure.
You know, guys that...
Like a Brian Danielson.
Like a Brian Danielson, like a sure. Dean Malenko, like...
I was really hoping you were going to say Lance Storm.
Lance Storm.
Because I'm not lying to you. When I've been watching some of your matches or watching you do some things, I see a lot of Lance Storm, and I used to be such a Lance Storm sure. fan.
Sure, sure. Yeah, no, I can see that too. Yeah, you know, maybe subliminal. And that's the thing too. That's the fun part about it is I'm trying to pull things that these guys that have inspired me, again, as an adult, not as a kid. I'm looking at it from a perspective as an adult.
Sure.
Of how can I make others feel the way that these gentlemen made me feel during the moments when I would watch their matches. And the thing I love about them too, it's like you couldn't drive a freight truck through their work. I mean, it's super tight, you know, and that's the thing I like snug, you know, I mean, Stan Hansen, I like, you know, it's I've got such a wide variety of, like, whoa, you go from Chris Benoit to Stan Hansen. Yeah. And I'm going to jump back to Tiger Mask too. I love that type of wrestling, especially when you look at the history of things too, and things like that people were, like, far ahead of their time. And it's like, oh man, just transplant Owen Hart, you know, 10 years later past his death. And he would just have blown up.
Yeah.
Like, that's the style of wrestling that was evolutionarily moving it towards. But he was just, like, 10 years too early. Yeah. So, and people didn't know how to, like, treat him at the time.
Right. Or, like, Sean and Marty.
Oh, they, Sean and Marty.
Like, obviously, everything worked out for Michaels, but if the Midnight Rockers come along in 2015, they're the biggest act.
Yep.
There is.
And everyone at the time, it's funny to watch, like, the Rockers back in the day, because everyone at the time, you know, especially that's in the business that I listen to and that I know, is, like, no one was, like, oh, yeah, Sean, he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
It's like no one was thinking that. It was just like, this is a tag team right here. And Marty, you know, he's a cool... I've had some really interesting conversations with Marty. You know, obviously wish him the best, hoping the best. He's going through some rough stuff right now. But just a well of knowledge on understanding and ring psychology and how to work a match properly and what you can do to just work on your own craft as well as moving forward. But yeah, it is kind of, and I get it, because there is that conversation. It's like, oh, you want to be the Sean, not the Marty. Yeah. And I feel that's a bit unfair.
Or simplistic, even.
It's simplistic, yeah, sure. Even. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
So if you could have a match, and let's throw, well, I'll ask this kind of two different ways.
Yeah.
No one under WWE contract, no one under AEW contract. A couple guys have said, like, everybody's under AEW contract.
Yeah, I was like, how are you going
to
do that?
But who would you like to have a match with that you know is on the independent circuit and isn't isn't someone that we couldn't book you to wrestle.
Well, I mean, you are right. Like, everyone sort of at one point is either a part of AEW, either on their main shows, Rampage and Dynamite, or like they're working their dark matches and things like that. But a lot of times, those dark AEW dark is like used for trying to get people reps.
Right.
That's really what it boils down to, is like, you need to get these guys reps. You know, people don't work 350 days out of the year anymore. Or if you're Hulk Hogan, 600 days out of the year.
Yeah.
Because he travels back and forth between Japan. And that's the international dateline, right? That's how that works.
Yeah, right.
but I still like the logic, even though it's like, what are you talking about, Hulk? But yeah, it's hard to say, at least people that are on the independents that are not connected to AEW. I mean, obviously, I love FTR, Dax, and Cash. I would love to work with them. But I know they have very specific ideas of what they want to do with their next story, their next push that they're going to go on. And they're totally entitled to those things as well, too. So I'm a huge fan of those gentlemen. That isn't signed. Ken Anderson, man, he's super fun to work with. Such a solid athlete. I've worked with him one time before. It was a carnival match, carnival show, but just amazing professional and wonderful person to work with. I wouldn't mind wrestling him again. He's like, oh, that'd be fun. There's the weird ones that would be kind of funny. David Arquette, you know, but because I think he really did, you know, try his best, and he was put into a situation that he didn't want at the time. And then it sort of marred him for the rest of his existence. And I feel bad for that, because it's not his fault. But I think he'd be a fun person to work, as far as, you know, I'm sort of an open book. I like working with and wrestling just about anybody. But as far as like, who's a dream match of a random independent person? And it's like, oh man, I watch NWA, I watch AEW, I watch WWE. You know, I try to keep my finger on the pulse of what's going on. Independence is like, you pick an independent show in Virginia, you're going to find, you know, about 100 wrestlers that aren't on the level that, if you're on NWA or AEW or
your
WWE.
Cardonas, your Nick Gages.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, okay, now contracts don't matter. You're wrestling someone in front of 20,000 people. Who is it?
Oof. Come on. I mean, easy would be like Rock. I would love to work with Rock. But he's, you know, he's such a superstar. And he's, you know, if he's not coming back for this WrestleMania because he doesn't feel like he's in shape. Which I totally get. In-ring work is completely different than just, you know,
being jacked.
Being jacked.
Yeah.
No, completely different. And, you know, again, love the work that he does. So that's a dream match, but that's like, you know, make a wish. Hold my breath. Trying to think, who else would I just love to work with? See, and a lot of the people that I really gravitate towards come from that Attitude Era, you know, and that's the approach that I try to take with my work as well too, is more of that sort of serious approach. Again, everything that's based off of actual grappling, actual fighting, actual sparring. So I know that doesn't really like answer the question, sure. But yeah, I would love to work with Dwayne The Rock yeah. Johnson. Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing.
Your favorite BZW match?
Favorite BZW match? Ooh, very good question. Just in general, like of the entire promotion or myself?
Yourself.
Oh, myself.
Yeah, yourself. Your favorite, you know, performance in BZW.
You know, and there's sort of that, catch-all answer that, you know, all athletes and artists, like, you know, try to say which is like my last match that I had. Sure. But literally, it was. It was like, okay. I thought that was an awesome match that I had with
Stonehenge.
With Stonehenge and with Jack. And unfortunately, the other gentleman couldn't make it, which is funny to me because he's been asking to wrestle me for like a long time. And I'm like, well, you got to show up, Rampage. I'm sorry, buddy. If you show up, I'm there for you. If you don't show up, I understand you weren't feeling good. So, and again, I don't want anyone to get sick, stuff like that. And we're all having a good time trying to compete with one another. So one day I hope to work on the smaller level. I hope to work with Rampage Santana so that he can at least get off my back about trying to wrestle me.
So our interview came out on BZW socials. Mm-hmm. You kind of clarified what you meant.
Yes.
At the sanctuary when you know we're talking about your plans basically, right, for 2023.
Right.
You've announced that if you don't win a championship in BZW by next year's Winter Slam,
correct,
you're going to retire. Kind of walk us through that thought process or why you feel like you kind of need to put this on yourself, because it's not like,
right,
I mean, Nick's right here. It's not like Nick's saying, hey, You either win something or we're kicking you out. Like, this is something that you've created yourself. It's a, right, goal that you've created for yourself. So, right, kind of walk us through that.
Well, okay. So part of that too is like, you know, I think a lot of us can be goal oriented, and I definitely am. If I set my mind to something, I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to do my best at it, and you know, win, lose, or draw by the end of that. You know, I at least know that I gave my all. I did my best in the process of trying to get to that next goal. This goal for me is maintaining or getting and then maintaining a BZW championship. Doesn't matter what that one is, but it's one of those things where I've dedicated my life to training and honing myself, not only physically but mentally. I am a martial artist. I've trained in multiple martial arts, judo, karate, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, American kickboxing,
taekwondo,
obviously, right? I'm a teacher as well too, and that's the thing that I do. I teach the youth. I teach you people out there to defend yourselves and to build your confidence and to recognize that if you can put your mind to it, you can make it happen. But you have to put your mind to it. You have to. That's why it's like I've given myself a year, a solid year, to train within this sport to reach the top of a goal and maintain that and be an inspiration to others in the process of doing that. Because it's not just about winning a belt. It's not just about winning a championship. It's about being a good representative who pushes those ideas and those ideals forward towards everyone else as well.
Did coming as close as you did in Bismarck kind of, how did that affect you? Like, did it, your perspective, your, this goal, right, you come as close as you did in the, yeah, triple threat match.
Yeah,
so
really close.
Like, do you, are you affirmed in your belief? Are you, how did that sort of affect kind of you moving forward? It's like, okay, I set this goal.
Right.
I got this close to accomplishing goal that day, that interview from Bismarck.
It was super close, dude. Oh my gosh. But Jack is an amazing athlete. Man, is he good. And I respect that man so much. So going into that particular match, again, thinking I was going against three other individuals or two, and then maybe if I would win that match, I would go to the headliner with Jack. You know, that didn't happen. One of the gentlemen ended up dropping out, and then we ended up
in a triple threat.
Jack made the decision to go to a triple threat, right? And I'm like, okay. So I had to change my game plan, like, right away. And that's the thing. It's like,
when you didn't even need to pin Jack.
No. Yeah, that was it too. And it's like, gosh, and that was, and could I pin Jack? I tried. I mean, if you go back and you watch that match, we were trading back and forth. We were standing neck to neck, like pretty much like the entire time that we're working against each other. And then Stonehenge, just this mountain of a beast, just like trying to get him out of the way. We had to get him out of the way in order for us to have an actual physical competition. So anytime that I enter into a match, you know, I have to think about it strategically in a different way each time, depending upon if I'm going against a larger individual, a smaller individual, what kind of move set do they have? Are they a high flyer? Are they more of a rumbler?
Brawler.
Yep. You know, so, and I have to take those things into account. And as well, it's easy to say, especially when you don't make a goal as quick as you would hope, right? It'd be great. It would be 100% amazing if I was able to obtain a BZW championship by that time. However, I'm not delusional. I know these gentlemen out here are doing their best to, you know, keep their titles and to show everyone else that they're forces to be reckoned with. So after I didn't win, again, I didn't get pinned, so I can at least say that I didn't lose. But that's just a little motivational tactic that I tell myself. Yeah, I didn't win that match. You know, did I lose? I didn't get pinned. So if you don't win, does that mean you lose? But at the same time, I'm really trying to look at it from the perspective of, okay, why didn't I win? Oh man, I need to work on my cardio a little bit better because Jack is a beast inside of that ring. I need to have better tactics when I go against larger mountain-like men and bring them down to my level. And that was my approach initially, was having to bring Stonehenge down to my level to be able to take him out. So I really look at that match as a learning experience. And you know, when we go to Montana and I end up facing who I'm going to face, you know, win, lose, or draw, if I don't win that one, I'm going to do my best to try to learn from that situation and move forward, okay? Giving up is not an answer, right? I've given myself a goal. I'm going to take this year. I'm dedicating my life to honing my physical being, honing my mental being as well, and like my tactics of how I want to approach each one of these matches, which all these gentlemen are different, and do my best every time that I go out there, And if my best isn't good enough by the time that I've set, then yeah, then it sounds like, well, maybe someone else needs to get a shot.
So we don't need to keep any secrets here. You've got Matthias in Montana.
Okay.
That's what's going on.
Yep.
One of Sly's guys.
Yes.
That in and of itself creates a subset of issues. I mean, that's another challenge outside of just Matthias's work in ring. Your thoughts on your matchup with him?
Well, and he's an interesting cat, too, because I worked with him one time before, and he likes to, you know, bring up the fact that you're the reason why I'm in BZW. It's like, yeah, I helped you out a little bit. We ended up tagging. But he really took a little bit more of a sinister approach than I would like. And I was going down like sort of a wrong path at the time too. And I recognized that. And I saw myself doing things inside of the ring that I just didn't appreciate as an athlete, you know, really holding up, my morals. Matthias wanted to take that path and I decided to take another path. And now he's trying to come after me a little bit. And that's fine. I'm willing to take on his pursuits. I'm willing to give him a chance to defeat me. However, I don't think he will. You know, obviously, he's a larger individual. He's a couple inches taller than me, maybe a couple pounds heavier than me. Not in muscle, but that's just his particular visage that he portrays, and I know how he works, and my approach has changed since we've worked last. So he's going in a little bit more blind than me going in there. I know his movesets. I know what to expect when he's going to come after me. So he's got a big game ahead of him if he really actually wants to try to pin or tap me out. That's not going to happen.
So let's say you handle business in Montana.
Okay.
What's kind of next for you? Because obviously it's the pursuit of gold. I mean, we know, we understand the goal. There's no question about that. So
yes.
You've got a one-on-one match with Matthias with no gold on the line because you don't have any. Matthias doesn't have any. So what's the next step? What's your how are you going to achieve what you're looking to achieve?
Well, and the Matthias match too is a good testing ground as well too. I get to really work on some new tactics working against larger men because that's who I'm going to eventually be potentially going up against. I mean, we've got Kyle Pro has got a championship right now. NDS as well has championships.
You're going to have to find yourself a partner to go after those, but yep.
if I end up going, absolutely, right?
Yep.
But those are. I mean, Kyle Pro is a big dude and he's freakishly strong. Right. So it's like, okay, if I have to approach him at one point, I want to make sure that I go up against individuals who have his sort of similar skills. Sure. Same thing with NDS. If I really want to try to go after that, man, yeah, I need a tag partner, one who's on a better same line as I am, more of an ethical path as opposed to win at any and all costs, which is more of what Matthias is. So that's like really my stop with Matthias is it's going to be a good training ground heading towards the next step of trying to obtain gold in some way through BZW. So next step after that, I believe Winter Slam. We've got a couple matches going on there, but I believe I'm going to be a part of the
WrestleVersary.
WrestleVersary.
Same venue. Just had Winter Slam. So.
Yes, right. WrestleVersary 2. Great logo, by the way. I really love what's going on that side. So WrestleVersary 2 coming up here. I believe we're going to try to go for a number one contendership in a Rumble match, and I'm a part of that. I don't know who's all in that yet. But
you'd like to win it.
Of course. Well, no, 100%. Like, and I know exactly what I would do, too, if I end up winning that. And I'm going to do my best to win that. And if that happens, I'm going to be calling my shot. I'm going to get my title shot. We're going to go for it. And, in the hypothetical that I don't, I still have another 6 months to try to figure it out.
Sure. You mind sticking around for our WrestleMania preview?
100%. Let's do it, brother.
Right. All right. Bringing back Mr. Stokey. Excellent, excellent time. I really enjoyed with Jake.
Yes.
All right. Night one. Dynamite drop in, Monty.
Yes. Well, sorry. You got me when I was reading what we're doing next. So yes, Jake, that was wonderful.
Did you catch that reference?
Yes,
I did. Yes,
Major League.
I love it. Yep. Right. Yep. Yep.
We found out. So we know what matches are night one. We know what matches are night two, and we know actually, obviously, Cody and Roman are going to close the show on night two. But we know right. Who's going to open the whole thing.
Right.
And that is Theory versus Cena. I think it's a really intriguing one when you're talking about when you're talking about the pencil and what you might do, because.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional wisdom, Cena's still a Hollywood star. His goal, his job, his purpose is to come in and look up at the lights.
Yep.
But then you've got people. So he would actually tie Flair's record for U.S. titles. Everybody thinks about Flair's record for the world championships, and Cena has tied him now. If he ever wins another world title, he's the all-time champion. But they've kept him tied with Flair.
Right.
This would actually tie Flair's record for U.S. titles. And folks are talking about really kind of shocking the world with the opening match and having John go over. And then maybe he drops it in a U.S. Open Championship defense on Monday.
Sure.
And maybe not even to Theory in a rematch. Maybe he makes another star.
Sure.
Want to hear some fantasy booking for me?
I would love to hear it.
What I would love to see, and it's the same night on Saturday, I would love to see, we're going to see some crazy stuff in that tag team showcase, the A-team tag match.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to see some just banana land stuff from Montez Ford, then have Montez answer. So Cena goes over Theory. Cena shows up on Monday Night Raw, does the U.S. Open Challenge, and then we get kind of the bait and switch where he actually shoots Montez to the moon, not theory.
Right.
But go ahead.
And they love Montez. I mean, all reports are that WWE loves this man and that he is going to eventually have his singles run. But it's all going to depend on what happens.
Montez going to throw Angelo through a barbershop window? That's the big question, right?
A la Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, speaking of your guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that it's definitely an interesting match and where they're going to go. Like, does Theory go over? And if Theory does go over, are we seeing Cena being done? Is this, because some people have said that, is this his match to be done? I don't think it is, but we're in Hollywood. It's, you know, I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens with it, and not so much for the match itself, just what the outcome is.
I do think there is a world in which he just lets Theory beat the crap out of him, and that's the purpose. I think a Theory squash is not out of the realm.
Right.
I don't know that would be my prediction.
Right.
But it would theoretically do a lot for Austin Theory. Right. To kick John Cena's ass in front of 80,000 people.
That's true.
And be able to talk about that moving forward as the giant a-hole heel that he is being.
Well, and it is the first match on the card of the first night as well, too. It's the curtain jerker. You know, and some people, that's the funny thing, too, is like some people don't like to be curtain jerkers. I don't mind it whatsoever. I think it's great. I think
that's
it sets,
and I think if you're not going tone, on last, go on first.
Yeah, sets the tone. Right. And you're not doing anything to, you know, screw over the gentlemen that are coming after you. You know, it's not like you're pulling out all the tables, all the chairs,
right.
You're pulling out all the kendo sticks. You're pulling out every flip and move that you can. Right. No. But does it need to be a squash? I don't know if it needs to be. Again, it's like John doesn't need to go over.
Well,
he's already
not.
Over.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, Theory. I go back and forth. You know, I was even talking to some younger fans as well, too. They're really connecting with Theory, but I don't feel it from him quite yet. You know, I think he's got the body. I mean, he looks like a young John Cena. That's the craziest part. It's like, did you guys just
model your wrestling
characters?
That's how it's being built, is old John Cena versus, or the next John Cena versus actual John Cena, and that's kind of the crazy thing, and I think ultimately, it would be such an insane subversion of expectations to put John over that I like to think about it. But and we're going to kind of, otherwise this show is going to be an hour and a half. So I will wrap us and we'll go to just predictions. So I am going to take Austin Theory, even though my heart says John Cena.
I'm going to go with, let's say Cena puts over Theory.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Theory's gonna take this.
I'm gonna tally this, by the way, and
please,
and we're gonna, you know, figure out who's the smartest at the end when we come back.
Loser takes the chops.
loser, you know all I want to do.
Do I get to give the chops?
Throw chops.
Who's maybe we'll
winner? Winner throws.
winner throws chops.
Middle guy can be referee.
He can just watch.
Yeah. All right. Charlotte versus Rhea.
Oh man.
I know. This card rules, by the way.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
This card just rules.
Such an awesome card. Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, you have the obvious parallels between the Tampa, you know, when Super Babyface Rhea was on her way up against Super Heel Charlotte and Charlotte goes over. I think that was COVID Mania, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
yep.
Right, yeah.
Yep.
So,
yes. Yep.
You know, where A, Rhea doesn't get her win. B, Rhea doesn't get her moment in front of a bazillion people.
And they were really pushing that narrative at the time, too, where it's like, you know, oh, Rhea, oh, I'm just looked at as
this
another
is,
Charlotte.
Yeah.
And so she dyed her hair black, and then she went more for the black leather look. And so it was really like pushing against that whole expectation of sort of a, you know, bleached blonde, you know, a Charlotte wannabe follow-up. And like, she has proven herself.
Yeah.
Rhea has proven herself so much. Man, when they had, when WWE was in Fargo for a house show, essentially, like, that was two of the funnest matches that I saw come out there were between Charlotte and the other one was with Rhea. The two women's matches were the funnest to watch because they just, I mean, like, Charlotte came out, and it's like the air got sucked out of the room. So, oh, my gosh, it's Charlotte. It's like she has an air about her.
Yeah.
And she's a great worker as well. And then same thing with Rhea. Rhea came out, and it's like the air got sucked out of the room. And she was just doing all this heel stuff inside the ring. It was like old school wrestling again. It was so fun.
They're both very striking women. Like, they're
very striking.
And they're tall. Yeah. They're big.
Yes. Yeah, no, Charlotte, like I was talking to you, like she's 6 feet tall in flats.
Yeah.
You know, with no shoes on. It's like, holy crap. And she's just looking like really, really fit and tight too. Like I was 50 feet away and I was seeing the veins popping out of her biceps. And it was like, dang, girl, get it. I can't wait for this match. I really cannot wait for this match.
Yeah. This is my looking at the first night. Maybe my favorite match, the one I'm most looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a Charlotte fan. You just talked about this house show we had here in Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
That changed a little bit, not necessarily as a fan of her, but just a fan of her persona. But I'm Ripley 1,000%. She's one of my top three, you know, talent in WWE right
yes.
now.
Yes. And I would say that too. I mean, mind you, they've done a great job with PR and like pushing certain narratives and things like that. But even before the Dominic and the mommy gimmick,
the mommy stuff is so good.
So good. But
yep.
But I like enjoyed it even before that. You know, you had a solid base underneath there. And then it's like we just add even more sugar on top. It's like, oh, this is great.
So I'm going to spoil some of my picks in the future because I think this Mania is going to kind of disassemble the bloodline, mm-hmm. as it were.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not going to be a great weekend for them.
No.
No.
And no. I think this is going to be, they're sending Judgment Day to the moon.
Mm.
Because I think Rhea wins. I think Finn wins.
Really?
And I think Dom beats his dad.
Yeah. Really?
So
I agree with all three of those.
What I can envision is on Monday Night Raw, the Judgment Day coming out and just be like, we are them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even though they've been, minus Rhea, they've been very weak. Right. I mean,
they lose a lot of matches.
Finn has been booked very weak, I feel,
yeah.
you know, in a sense. But we can...
But when he goes demon and beats... Well, whatever. We'll get into that in a minute. But what I'm saying... So my pick is Rhea.
Okay. I got to go with... Yeah, man, and I've met both the ladies, and they're great, and they're you know, separately. Oh gosh, I have to go with Ripley. I have to.
I agree.
Okay, so
we're all.
By the way,
all
this
three.
Is going to end in a tie if we don't have some
just simultaneous.
Some, yeah, yeah. Some I know there was some stuff here. You were saying. It was like I may disagree with you here in a second. We'll see.
So
yeah.
Anyway, again, man, and I hope. I don't know that it will. I think because they might send out Flair and Rhea last, maybe.
I hope they do. But on the poster right now, the poster shows, if you go off just by what the card looks like, they have Cena Theory.
Right, but Cena Theory has been announced
The opener. But this is WWE. They do whatever they want.
And that's the same thing, too. I mean, you look at 2K23 as well, and they got John Cena on the front. Yeah. He sells. I mean, it makes sense.
They're dumb not to. They're in Hollywood.
Like I said, they've said that Austin Theory and Cena is opening the show.
Yes, I think it's just strictly it's John Cena.
So I would throw Usos versus Sami and Kevin on last. That's what I would do. And I know since they've gone to a two-night WrestleMania, normally they have done a women's
which,
match.
Which I hope it is. I do. I mean, I hope. I feel those two women
have
all the accolades to be the main event of Night One.
Oh, but I also 100%. Think that Sammy is the most over guy in the company right now.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
that's why I wouldn't
argue either.
Right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue either way.
Yeah.
Like, who are we going to put? What match are we going to do in the main event? I don't know. Like, okay. No, like, what promoter doesn't want that?
One of the most.
Right. How do you get mad at anybody that's on that card? It's like, oh my gosh. Are you
right.
Kidding?
I mean, even if they put Seth and Logan on last, it'd be like, okay, Logan is one of the 10 most famous people in the United States.
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go.
And this, to my understanding, is the last one of his contracts, so he'll have to either re-up or figure out what's going on next
right,
with him.
Right,
but so, I've heard opposite, too. Okay. So I don't know.
Back to Usos, Sami Kevin.
Yes.
One of the best stories of the last 10 years as far as builds to a match.
Last 15, 20 years.
Yeah. Unbelievable build.
Great, yeah. People are really connecting.
The Royal Rumble stuff, and I also enjoy how they didn't rush the reunion. Right. Because you could have easily just... Oh, buddy, and like you go back and forth and back and forth, and they're friends, they're not friends, they're friends, they're not friends,
right?
And ultimately, these two guys have wrestled each other 1,000 times,
yes,
been on the same side 1,000 times, been mm-hmm. on the opposite side, and so they had a little bit of a challenge. They being WWE had a little bit of a challenge in front of them in making this meaningful.
Right.
Because the Sami KO breakup and makeup has been done like 4 times already.
It has. I mean, you look at what Sammy's talking about, you know, how it was, we were there from the beginning. So, and that has like many meanings beyond like, oh yeah, they knew each other on the independents.
Kevin
and
Steen versus El Generico.
Yep, absolutely. But even if you look at like when Kevin got into WWE at the first go, I mean, he... betrayed Sammy.
Powerbomb Sammy onto the apron.
Right away.
It was amazing.
So, yeah. And so it's like, I mean, they've got a rich history of working off of one another in different aspects and different facets. It's like, how can you go wrong? It's like, and they just, there's almost like a point to like this last, before they actually hugged it out, where it's like, they have the audience there. Okay. Hug out, guys. And then Kevin goes to the back again. It's like, oh, you're almost losing the audience. You're almost losing them, dude.
Yep.
And then he comes back out and then hugs Akimbo and everyone's all cheery.
Right.
Just like when, you know, Sammy dropped the chair against Roman's back after he was like, nope, I'm not going to hit handcuffed right. Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and know? That was
a huge pop.
The way they booked the Rumble was just what an awesome pay-per-view. So again, like I said, this show is going to be an hour and a half if we don't.
Right. Yeah. Let's get to the, okay.
So Sammy and Kevin, I can't,
they have to,
I don't know how you would even have the Usos go over and not just have a riot.
Right. Right. So, no. Yeah.
Sammy and Kevin.
I'm with Sammy and Kevin as well.
All right. Becky, Lita and Trish versus Damage Control. This one is interesting to me because you don't often send the legends out there to be fed to the wolves, but you also have 3 current roster ladies that you could give the push if you give Damage Control the victory, whereas the only one that you could heat up is Becky. But I think you do heat up Becky because I think Becky's been out of the world title picture long enough.
Right. Well, and not knowing what plans they have moving forward, going with Trish, you know, is this just like, is she just gonna do a WrestleMania comeback, or
right,
or are they going to? No, we're actually going to start a program with Trish. Then that sort of changes the narrative a little bit. You know, you can look at it from a business perspective. Is like, yeah, we really want to give Io Sky and Dakota Kai a push. With Bayley as well too, and they're doing a great job. I mean, they're Bayley's little enforcers. I mean, how cool is that? You got these two little just these Asian badasses that are just like can handle themselves, and that's just such a cool like look in and of itself. But will they actually, you know, will they have enough esteem and people behind them? Where if they go over, people are like, yay, you know, does this actually push them to the moon? Or do they need that extra, you know, no, we need to work this program a little bit longer. So let's keep Trish on a little bit longer.
You know what would be really fun? Lita turns and we have Trish, Lita like 12 at SummerSlam one more time.
I like your idea, but Lita's not turning. No. Trish is turning.
That'd be there amazing.
Trish is turning.
Heel Trish would be amazing.
She has... And obviously, social media can make stuff look certain ways or whatever. She's given a couple looks to Lita that looks at, like, why do you guys have the titles? Mm-hmm. Why don't I have one?
Sure.
And so if I'm, you know, going with this, I think Damage Control takes this match.
Ooh.
And it's okay. And it sets up them saying we get our shot at the titles, and Trish costing Becky and Lita the tag titles.
So you think Damage Control goes over clean?
I don't.
At WrestleMania.
Yes.
And then later, Trish costs Becky and Lita the tag titles.
I think Bayley pins Trish, and they go, and Trish says, "Where were you?" And that's why. That's just me. Maybe I'm a Bayley homer because she's also my favorite. But still, that's how I feel. Mm. We have to have a heel victory at some point, like a legit heel victory. Even if we look at, you know, up and down this card, like even when, if Ripley wins, I feel like she's, even though while she's a true heel, fans are going to still love that.
I think
I'm booking Theory and Dominic to win. So anyway, whatever. Continue on.
I would almost think that, yeah, to really get, it really would depend upon like what's going to be the program moving forward, and that could depend upon what happens in the ring on WrestleMania, right? So I want Trish to win. But I think with the heel faction that's going on right now with Bayley, they just keep getting stronger and stronger. So I think it's going to be pushed more towards that way. So I'm with you.
All right. We finally have a dissension. I am going with the Legends and Becky.
Again, I want them to win.
I think they are going to win because unless there's a turn, and I'm not saying this, my pick is my pick. Mm-hmm. My pick is Becky, Lita, and Trish.
Yep.
But what I'm saying is I think there would have to be one of Lita or Trish churning in the match for them to lose. I don't think they're going to lose clean. I don't think they're going to lose at all.
I think
they're going to win, and I think they're going to shoot Becky into a title match at SummerSlam against whomever.
See, I'm more of the opinion if there's a turn, it's going to happen afterwards.
Interesting. All right, so we have our first dissension. You've got Jake and Nick on Damage Control. I'm on Becky, Lita, and Trish. Seth versus Logan. This one, again, super interesting because the common knowledge for everyone is that Seth can eat a loss and not be affected. And we've seen it at pay-per-view. Unfortunately, we've seen it at pay-per-view after pay-per-view after pay-per-view. My guy's win-loss record, and I know win-loss doesn't matter, but like my guy's win-loss record over the last four or five big shows, it ain't great. And I think it's because they know he's that damn good that whatever, you know, he doesn't need it. Now you have a guy like Logan Paul who lost his last match to Roman Reigns
but looked like an absolute star.
Yep. Right. And did really cool things at the Royal Rumble too. And so, and then there's the dirt sheet end of it, the mark end of it, which is allegedly my man's contract is coming due.
Right.
So there are a number of different factors working here where normally the celebrity would go over. A, normally the celebrity would go over. B, no one can eat a loss like Seth and just keep on ticking. It's honestly uncanny how little his character can be affected by taking a huge, getting into a huge feud. He ate three Cody losses and no one cared. He can get into a huge feud, not back up what he's saying, and no one cares.
Yeah, you have to think about as well, too, or at least put into context as well. Has an outsider, a celebrity, ever won WrestleMania at WrestleMania? I'm trying to think right now.
Bad Bunny?
Did Bad Bunny win?
I think so.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But that says something in and of itself as well.
Because and Bad Bunny was with Damian Priest, so rarely
by themselves.
Right, very I think Lawrence Taylor versus Bam Bam Bigelow like back in the day, but like normally they will throw the celebrity in with someone else. One year, it was Ronda Rousey as the celebrity with Kurt Angle, and then she became a part of the roster. But it's not often that the celebrity match, whether it's Snooki, whether it's Trump, whether it's whoever, doesn't matter.
Yep.
They're not usually just in a one-on-one match against maybe the best worker in the company.
Fridge. I mean, that was a Rumble, but yeah, it's like, look at all the celebrities.
We're also looking at a different celebrity here.
Floyd versus Big Show.
Logan can wrestle.
True.
Everyone else couldn't. Logan,
right. No, he actually put in the work.
He can hang in the ring with those guys. And
so hateable, but unbelievable athlete.
Right. You know, and
walks out there with a Pokemon card. Yeah. Like, really?
And I do believe, you know, I think the outcome of this match is going to be determined on, is Logan serious about being a full-time wrestler, or are we just going to do this, hey, we're going to come every 6 months, that kind of thing. I see Seth. If I'm choosing, so to speed it up a little bit, I'm going Seth.
I think nothing is ever owed. I think they owe Seth a win. He has eaten so many losses at these pay-per-views, you know, doing business for whomever. He needs a big-time win. Because eventually it's like you're not backing up anything you're saying. And I know he's over like Rover, and it seems not to matter. The other thing, and the reason ultimately that I'm going with Seth, if the rumors are true, if they're going to split up the titles, with the theory being that it's Cody after, and they're going to split up the titles, you're either going to put one of the straps on Seth, or Seth is going to be fighting for one of the titles, whether it's Seth versus Cody whether it's Seth chasing whomever, Seth chasing Brock, Seth chasing whoever the second title ends up on. I think he's going to get the slingshot into the title picture, and I think that slingshot's name, unfortunately for Logan, is Logan Paul.
Right. Well, that's the thing, too, is, like, Seth, it's like, he can win or lose. It's not really going to hurt him.
Right.
But I think he definitely deserves that title picture. I mean, he's a main player.
Your pick.
Right. My pick, I would say, let's go with, and yeah, he's good. Logan Paul is good. He looks good, and he puts in the work. But I'm going with Seth.
Okay, all right. Ray versus Dominic. Again, the storytelling's so good. So good.
I think it's too early, though. I think it's too early. I truly think it's like it's too early. I think Dominic needs more time to work. Actual work. He's got the great character down. He's got the great,
because he was the most
television. Like, everyone hated him when he first came out, and he was like teaming with his dad.
And not even not even heat. Like, you're supposed to get heat.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's bad heat.
Just didn't care.
X-Pac heat.
Go away. Heat. Yeah. X-Pac
right. And now it's legitimate hate.
Yeah.
Heat. Yeah. Like, gets booed when you're supposed to get booed.
Because I can't go to jail. And he gets out of jail, has a little teardrop, and he's like, I did hard time.
Prison Dom is the best. Dude.
He definitely has accepted and embraced that role. Yes. And like, hey, this is going to be a little weird because we're going to put you in jail for 3 hours, and we're going to make you out to be a hardened criminal.
Oh, man.
And you have a baby face.
Yep.
So I'm excited for this one. I think it's going to be hard. Where Dominic goes from here is my biggest concern, because you can continue this or
with the rest of the Judgment Day.
I understand that, but it's like, you know, he's, I don't know, I still haven't 100% latched on to Dominic yet.
Here's another theory that I have, or something that I would find interesting. Triple H now in charge of creative.
Mm-hmm.
They have never, to my knowledge, and someone could certainly, you know, DM the BZW or at BZW Rocky on Twitter and say, hey, you're wrong.
Sure.
I don't know that they've ever worked an angle at the Hall of Fame. Like, actually worked an angle at the Hall of Fame. I would be interested. I wonder if they're not going to put a retirement stipulation on. Like, what if Ray is being inducted into the Hall of Fame and Dominic, as a work, like, acts a fool and interrupts or does something? Because they've never worked an angle at the Hall of Fame. So what if there is another stipulation or yet another spin? Because they waited so long for Ray to actually take this match.
Right. I mean, and that's true too, right? I mean, it's something that they were building up since a little bit before Christmas, around Thanksgiving, right? So
when they stormed into God, those
just
So well done.
Right. So I mean, good stuff, like solid stuff. I mean, even Ray's been on record of saying that, you know, he was, that's when they first approached him about it. We're going to put you in the Hall of Fame. And he's like, his first thought and thing he said was, I'm not ready to retire. And, you know, he has this number in his head. It's like 50. And that's like 3 years away. He's 47. It's like 50. That's when he actually wants to retire. So, and he's on record saying that. Yeah. So, but it's like, okay, but is he trying to, you know, garner people's interest and then something's going to happen at the Hall of Fame and then it leads into WrestleMania, you know? So I don't know. I don't think Ray's done. I don't think I'm going to say Ray's going to go over, but what I'm more interested in is how they play out that match, that father versus son, that the things that he said, I wish I was Eddie's son. Yeah. Like stuff like that is like, even just coming from, like, I get chills thinking about that. If I would have, you know, a child, my child, tell me that, like, I don't want you to be my dad. It's like, oh my gosh, that's just heart wrenching, you know? And I think all of us that have children can at least relate to that on some level. It's like, can you imagine if like your daughter, or your son would come up to you and be like, yeah, I like the other person better. Or I, you know, mom was happier with Frank or whatever, you know, is like, oh, dang it, Frank. Why, Frank? I mean, how heart-wrenching is that? We can all relate to those feelings. So I think Ray goes over, but I think it's going
– You think it's like a Shawn Michaels, I love you, and then super kicks Ric Flair type of thing?
I think it's something similar to that, yes.
Okay. I think so. Nuts. I think Dominic goes over for sure.
You think so?
I
just clean?
Probably not, which is fine.
Right. And that's the only way.
That's the way.
That's the only way I think I'd be cool with it is like if, but then who's going to interrupt that match? Is it one of the other?
Priest. Priest doesn't have anything to do.
That's true.
Rhea is busy that night, but you never know. Mommy could get involved.
True. I don't know. I think
have Ray's wife heel turn on Ray. That'd be great.
Ooh.
No, but I think that this is the match to nuclearize Dom.
But I think they can do that without having him go over.
Okay. Yeah. All right, break the tie.
Oh man, I
sorry.
it's okay. See, I've my theory on all these matches. I start like playing like where we could go down the road on this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going Ray over Dom.
Okay.
And we don't have time to go with it, but I have like a 6-month storyline that I would do.
Okay. All right. We're not going to get into this one. We're just going to pick a winner.
Okay.
Braun and Ricochet, Street Profits, Alpha Academy, Viking Raiders. I've got the Street Profits.
I got the Street Profits.
Why does no one give any love to the Viking Raiders?
Dude, they're great.
I love them in Fargo. But they were great.
I got
live. They were great.
Yeah.
I'm taking it back. I'm going Viking Raiders.
Okay. My man, I'm with you.
Viking Raiders, Street Profits.
Street Profits probably going to do it, but I want Viking Raiders.
Very, very brief.
I forgot how much I loved them the other week.
Very brief tangent. My cousin and I took my dad. We had tickets. I think it was the one where the married couple won both. Seth won the men's. Becky won the women's in Arizona at the Diamondback Stadium. The night before at the Suns Arena, they had an NXT takeover back when the Viking Raiders were the War Raiders, and they opened the show with the War Raiders entrance. Mm. And my dad had never been to a wrestling show a day in his life. And he was like, this is absolutely insane because they just had like 25 guys line up around the aisle banging shields, yelling war, and it was the craziest thing.
And it's like, probably going to happen tomorrow.
It was
not tomorrow, 2 days from now.
So sick. I wish they would, like, I don't know why War Raiders was offensive or why. I mean, offensive. I don't know, but the War Raiders and NXT were some stuff.
They were so good. So, I mean, you know, if Street Profits go over, I mean, I think it'll lead into a push for Montez because he needs it. They've been doing that for
Do
a
they
while.
Need to break up to push Montez? Do they need to have the betrayal? Do they need to actually do the Sean and Marty? Or
I don't think they
no.
need
to No, I don't think do so
that.
Either.
I don't think they need to do that.
Nope.
But if they win and go over, I think it's going to lead straight to that.
Because it's interesting to me because, right, like with three, Big E got his singles push with the New Day. Nobody cared.
Yep.
We had Kofi Mania. Kofi didn't have to betray the New Day to have Kofi Mania.
Yep.
With two guys, I think it's a little different, but that, you know, because then you have the obviously jealousy storylines that you can do and things like that.
Right.
Okay, night two. Again, we're going to kick this off by just picking. No nonsense after that. Liv and Raquel, even though we just did nonsense,
yes.
Literally just now. Liv and Raquel versus Ronda Rousey and Shayna versus Natalya and Shotzi versus Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. I'm going chalk here, Ronda and Shayna.
I agree. I mean, it's like they have
the chalkiest thing that ever chalked, but whatever.
Yeah, I really want Raquel to win, but I think she's just at the very beginning.
Future star.
100%. Yeah. But I think you're right. I think they're going to go with Ronda. But I would really like to see a really good match between them and Raquel.
Sure. Okay. From a standpoint of entrances, Finn and Edge is going to be so sick.
Oh, gosh.
I'm an entrance guy, and so I'm ready for this.
So what are you, okay, does Edge go Brood again?
No, he does. They've already talked about it. I mean, I believe.
Are they really going to bring in Gangrel?
And maybe Christian.
For real?
I've heard that is a legitimate possibility that Tony Khan has given the okay.
Oh, man. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about
Gangrel, I think, is almost a lock. Yeah. I know he's.
I know it was Edge and Christian. He was a part of the Brood?
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. He took all the L's.
Vampire-y time.
With super long hair at that. Okay.
So Gangrel, I mean, is almost a lock. He's in Hollywood right now.
Right.
He's made no secret that he's not there, but he's also working other stuff. So, I mean, like, you know, it's Mania Week.
Right.
But I think.
Selling autographs at WrestleCon, baby.
Right?
Why would you not? Yeah. Come on.
Just like everyone else. But in terms of entrances, there's a very good chance, and I don't know where you want to put it, but that we see the Brood back at WrestleMania.
And then you're gonna have Demon Finn.
Yes.
And potentially a purple Demon Finn, which is a
complete. I mean, it has to. He's got to be purple.
Right. Yeah. Which would be, I don't know, super interesting. As far as the match, Hell in a Cell, you know, the grudge match to end all grudge matches, and I think that's kind of where we're going. Like
is this the first Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania?
No, Shane and Undertaker.
That's right. Oh, that was
crazy.
And they're using the old cell. They're not doing the new,
not the red one.
Cell. Yeah,
it's old. It's back to the old one.
I'm like, yes, that's, I mean, it totally makes sense, especially for Edge, and it totally makes sense. Oh my gosh. So I was like, yeah, I'm excited for that match for sure.
And I've already tipped my pick. I've said, I think they're strapping the WrestleMania rocket ship to the Judgment Day.
Mm.
Plus you have Edge and Beth's win at Royal Rumble.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're taking sort of the Oscar sweep approach where like one guy gets, or one movie gets through with all
right. Right. And I just think like, if we are to, again, when you talk about wins and losses don't matter, but if we are to believe that the Judgment Day is like this viable threat, they need to start winning some matches.
Mm.
And Finn Balor, by the way, like specifically needs to start winning some matches. I've got Finn. I think it's going to be an awesome match. I think it's going to be an awesome presentation.
Mm.
This is not when I would get up for popcorn or use the bathroom.
Right, yeah. So between Finn and Edge, sorry, go ahead.
I got Finn as well. I think that the next few months are going to be very big for the WWE. We're going to see a lot of title changes, maybe some title splits, and that Finn has to be pushed into that category of back to being a top tier guy. And I also think Edge goes away for a little while now. And I think it makes too much sense that Finn's got to win this one.
And Edge went away for a little bit too, and then he came back as well. And then there was the whole thing with,
because he's almost done. Edge is almost done. He's not one to shy away from that. I think Toronto is where he wants to retire.
Speaking of all this, by the way, allegedly we could see some Randy Keith Orton.
Yes,
allegedly.
I've heard that. Yeah,
in this match.
Really?
Right.
I just heard that he might pop back up.
Okay. See, I've heard that there may be something with the, like, again, holy, totally rumor thing. This was one of like the two matches that they talked about him showing up in.
Right.
So, but anyways, Finn.
I want Edge to win, but you guys have sort of convinced me on like plans moving forward. So as much as I want Edge to win, I think they may, if they go the route of trying to get the entire Judgment Day over, then yeah, I mean that's a pretty solid booking choice for sure. So yeah, let's go with Finn. And I like Finn too. Finn,
sure.
Man, and he's a, I don't know about like how he's supposed to present himself to the world, but real nice dude.
Yeah.
Real good dude.
Yep.
In real life. Real good dude.
Brock versus Omos. This,
gosh. I hate this match.
I see.
Can we take like 30 seconds on this, please?
Yeah. Yes, because I disagree wholeheartedly.
Love Brock. Hate everything else.
I understand the lack of a story buildup. I understand all of it. But when this thing is just 4.5 minutes of comically large individuals tossing each other around the ring, and it steals the show, and we get a viral F5 of a 7'3", 400-pound man, and Omos, like, do I think it's going to be a 5-star Steamboat Flair?
No, it's
not.
But those aren't even the body types either.
Right. Mm-mm. But I think we're going to have so many ridiculous and, like, viral social media moments from this match, and it's just, you're going to be kind of holy S-ing during this entire thing.
No, I'm getting popcorn during this thing.
this is the bathroom break one, huh? Well, and it's interesting too, because I mean, from everything that's come out about this particular match, it's like, yeah, they were having a hard time getting Brock to agree to someone that he would be willing to work to wrestle. I don't see Omos going over. I don't see. He can't. I don't see that. And if they did, it would almost be like, You remember when Taker lost his streak and everyone was like, what? No, restart it. Start it back up. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It feels like a wrong choice.
So I'm going crazy then here. Because not only am you I are. Very much looking forward to this.
Going crazy.
It's getting late, that's why.
I'm taking Omos.
You taking Omos?
Because I think he can't lose anymore. How does, and be a credible giant?
Okay, let's go a step further.
Is he credible? Is he credible now?
I want him to be credible.
I get it.
I think
they
want him to be credible, or he wouldn't be wrestling Brock goddamn Lesnar at WrestleMania.
So what if we throw a curveball here, and my dreams come true that I don't have to watch this match, and we actually get Brock versus Lashley, and something happens. And let's just say that. And we don't have to go too far in it. But I think there's a small, slim chance. I'm taking Brock. I'm done talking about the match.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree.
I think you absolutely could have Omos win because the Hurt Business got back together.
Said I was done. No, I agree. I agree. If it does win, it's because Lashley comes out and somehow helps.
Lashley and MVP and everybody comes out and the whole thing.
I'll agree with that.
But I'm taking Omos. Omos, Brock, Brock. So there's going to be a winner
in
this contest.
I'll take Brock if it's just Omos and Brock. Okay, but if Bobby comes out in support of Omos because of
the
Hurt
Business.
Okay,
but this is that same crap when I was talking about how my pick is my pick. With Becky and Lita and Trish and Damage Control. Your pick is your pick.
Fair.
We're not making conditional picks.
Fair.
Brock. Okay, Brock, Omos. So there's going to be a winner to this contest because we've had enough disagreements.
Okay.
All right. Oh, this is going to be a wrestling match. Gunther, Drew, Sheamus.
Oh, gosh. Man, right off top. That one's tough, man, because it's like I could see any of those guys because Gunther is an amazing freaking worker, and he's worked his butt off to make himself look the way that he does. And looking at him in real life, too, is like, dang.
And they made him a super-duper star at the Rumble.
Yeah, I love watching wrestling on TV, but I love watching wrestling live. And I'm going to keep referencing back because I saw so many of these people just the other week here in Fargo. Gunther is so legit and just in the ring, but even when you were watching him on the outside of the ring and what he's doing, he's so smart.
He's comfortable. He's an old school wrestler.
Yes,
he really is an old soul of wrestlers. So
I really enjoy watching him, but I don't think he wins.
You don't think so?
No,
so
because I think they're moving him to bigger and better places. So I think it'll be, we got to get you out of the Intercontinental Championship, and 3 months from now, we're against Cody. We're against someone.
If that's the case, then probably McIntyre.
Yes, Drew is my pick.
Yeah, I don't see Sheamus. I mean, Sheamus is an amazing athlete. I think he had his in the business. He had his time at the top for that particular title and that momentum and that push. That's not to take anything away from him. Again, I like Sheamus. But I think with the current card, the way it's set up, if that's the case and they don't give it to Gunther, then it's going to be McIntyre.
So I'm going with Sheamus for kind of that reason is like, well, I'll put it to you this way. I think, especially if we're splitting up titles, both Gunther and Drew can sort of exist in that nucleus of people that are credible threats for the world title, especially if there are two world titles, because the conversation has been had that NBC Universal USA Raw wants a title and Fox SmackDown wants a title. So if we're talking about two titles and none of them are Roman, theoretically, now you have to have this pool of your next top guys that you are going to work a SummerSlam program with or whatever. And I think both Gunther and Drew can be kind of at that level. And because Sheamus is a worker's worker and has reinvented himself, but is maybe, and this is, like you said, absolutely no disrespect to Sheamus.
Yeah.
I don't think we have another world championship match for Sheamus in the offing. Or maybe ever. I don't know if Sheamus will ever work another world title match.
I think he's and again, I don't mean this in any negative context. I think he's like one of the best supports that they have.
Sure.
He supports whoever he's
and
with.
Can work with anyone.
For me, gosh,
with anyone.
Yes,
for me, absolutely. Give him the workers title. Give him, and I know, like, historically the IC title has been more like this is the up and coming workers title.
Right.
Which Gunther. No part of Sheamus is up and coming.
Right.
Gunther is up and coming, but if you need to remove the belt from Gunther, I think Sheamus would be your IC champion. That makes a lot of sense. And maybe Drew and Gunther move towards a world championship shot.
You do make a convincing argument.
Okay. Bianca versus Asuka. I have heard the new nickname for Bianca, and I love it, Jane Cena. She is on her Jane Cena.
Jane Cena.
But she's super Bianca. She's not losing matches, man.
No.
She's big match Bianca, Jane Cena. And
you don't see me.
Exactly. Like, but going up against kind of a darker, spitting stuff, kabuki Asuka,
right,
who's a more threatening character. Someone I think not super affected by losses just personally, but also someone that Asuka, man, she's got that credibility where, like, it's just not that weird when she beats anyone. It's just not that weird when she beats anyone.
Asuka's really good. And so, and Asuka is really, really good. And I think Jane Cena is really, really over with the crowd. She's really connected with a younger audience, especially young females. I think, you know, honestly, I'm going to go with Asuka, because she has proven herself time and time again. I think Bianca has solid 10, 15 more years ahead of her in the WWE.
Yeah.
From things that I've heard from Asuka, it's like, don't get me wrong, I think she could perform for the next 10, 15 years. I think she has some other stuff that she wants to do in Japan.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So
been in this business a lot longer than a lot of people realize.
100%.
That she was 16 years old running this gimmick, essentially what we're doing right now, you know, back in Japan.
Yep. No, so I like her work. I'm going Asuka.
I'm going Bianca because I think we get Bianca Becky at SummerSlam. I think we get Bianca Becky at SummerSlam. Mm. And I think also, I think your big night 2 title change is Cody. So I think I have no problem mentally with a champion retaining in the women's match. So I'm going Bianca.
Right.
I'm going to go, I want Asuka, but I'm going to go Bianca for that same reason that I think the IC title changes hands and that you can't have all three of those titles change hands on night two. Mm. But how cool would it be? Bianca retains. She starts a feud with Becky, and then we get Seth versus
Montez.
Interesting. I mean, they're dating, they're married, they're all that stuff. It's just that whole fantasy thing. But Bianca, yep, I'm going Bianca.
Okay. All right, your main event of all main events, Roman versus Cody. I think they've done a great job with what they were given, which was basically you only have from Rumble to Mania to build this story because of Cody's injury, because you've invested so much into Roman Sammy.
And they've been hitting it hard, too, and not like a forced way as well. Just peppering in Cody here and there, helping out with Sammy and Kevin and things like that, just really making him shine as a babyface. Like, man, they're doing a good job about that. But again, doesn't feel like they're shoving it down our throats.
No.
You know?
No. And so I think, you know, everything, the chalk answer is Cody, which sounds insane because of how long Roman has been champion, how dominant he's been. But it just seems like, what do I really think the go-home camera shot is? It's red, white, and blue fireworks over Cody's head. That's what I think. That's what I think the go-home camera shot is red, white, and blue fireworks over Cody's head. And like I said, basically the dissolution of the bloodline, shambles.
Yeah.
Jimmy and Jay, no tag titles. No one know, you know, whatever the heck they were going to do with Solo. I don't know. But Roman drops the titles. What happens to Wise Man after Roman drops the titles?
And depending on how they handle it as well, too. I mean, that's a thing that, you know, a faction that they could potentially revisit a year on down the line.
Sure. Yep,
you know, absolutely. Or so on. You know, it's a story that just, you know, it just repays dividends, you know, if you keep on it. That's why it's like I don't think they need to have the bloodline. I think that hit its top. For its popularity, for it getting over, for people really being on line with it. And I think they need to develop along with Cody. I mean, he's had many years wrestling and many years sitting under the learning tree.
Yeah.
He was never trained, trained by his father. And so that's like an interesting dynamic too, is like all these guys that are on at the top in WWE right now were trained partially by Dusty's Rhodes.
Kids. They call them Dusty's
kids. They call them Dusty's kids, you know, and how, man, it's just, they've done a great job of making the fans a part of the story and relate those feelings of, you know, wanting to live up to your father's dreams,
legacy, yeah,
all those things. I mean, again, I was talking about this before we got on the podcast, but I mean, how crazy is it to think at this coming, you know, two nights of WrestleMania, we have a Rhodes in WrestleMania and we have a Flair in WrestleMania. It's like 1998 all over again. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's such an amazing story where this main event's coming to. And I think even though that we go back to where we've only had Cody and Roman since Rumble,
right.
I think that it's okay because the bloodline story themselves, like you just said, has been so good and it's at the peak.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it has to end for right now.
Yeah, it's on the top. It's like end when you're up there, yes. Guys.
Don't draw this out. Okay. Have those fireworks. Have Cody winning. Let him take you into this next stage, this next season of WWE. You can come back to the bloodline whenever you want because you can always come back to family. Yes. It's so easy to say,
oh my gosh,
we don't like each other in 6 months.
I got chills when you just said that. I got chills.
Like it's so easy to do that. This story has the bloodline has done so well in everything that they've done. That it only is going to make this Cody win, I think, like, monumental. And it's going to be because Roman has had this title for so long.
Right.
And at the end of the day, Cody, there's, when you look at it, okay, so if Roman were to go over, who's next?
Exactly.
There's no one.
Right.
Cody has to win this, and Cody has to take the WWE into the next, you know, like some people say, kind of a, like, this last Vince era. Yeah. Now we're like, maybe Vince is completely gone, which, whole other thing.
All right. So,
different conversation.
Yes.
Cody.
Cody. All right. That is, we are at mark about an hour 24. Thank you so much, Jake Taylor, for your time this evening. Thanks to Nick Stokey. Thank you to our sponsors, Tundra Insurance and Prairie Pest Control. And as always, thank you to you wonderful, wonderful people for listening. We will catch you on the next episode of Below Zero Radio, and have just a phenomenal WrestleMania weekend, everybody.
Have a great one, guys. Fear the beard.